Blog Talk Radio.
The Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
And on Wednesday, I listen to GQ Palace Radio with the Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This Shay. And I want to say I love chilling with the Diva Squad on Wednesdays, talking about our love thing. Shout out to the GQ Palace. It's Buddy Baby.
It's Buddy Baby. Baby, baby.
The Diva Squad.
Diva Squad.
They was playing, so I hit my homegirls and told them I can't stay in. Spotlight stuck on me, that's how I seen. Stepping out, down the rocks, no supreme. See, it took about an hour just to fit it in these jeans, and I don't see no end of future all the same. So I bet you wishing that you had me back. And on my frame now, when they catch a track, so could you please holler at me when they catch a stack? And I heard the new girl that you have is whack. Got that wet, wet, what it's foul, what you holler about? Money talk, keep quiet, baby, let your dollar shout. And I got what you want, bet I'm never running now. Checking in, that's
GQ Palace, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad. I am Miss Storm. I believe I have Ray Queen in the building.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, of course, we just want to make sure we just, you know, fill you guys in on what's going on with the Diva Squad. This is our second week being back in the building after a long, long extended vacation. Well, we're definitely not new to the radio. You know, we're definitely not new. This is what we've been, you know, chosen to do. So we're excited to be back in the building. Thankful to, you know, of course, God first and then of Rich Money for allowing us to do the show here on Wednesday night. So if you want to check us out, make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. We do have a new number to call in. That's 845-277-9098. You have to press the 1 button to go online, just to go on live with us, to give us your feedback on the topic, give a shout out, you know, just to let us know what's going on with you. So I'll start off with Ray Queen. Ray Queen, how you doing today?
I am all right. I feel awesome. I'm good.
Yeah, still working hard.
Yes, ma'am. I'm at work right now. I'm at the other job while doing this job. Yes, ma'am. We're getting it in.
That's right. Listen, you're the woman of many jobs, okay? You always got a job or a new job. So that's
right.
Your thing.
Yes.
But on a good note, happy anniversary to your mom and Rev.
Yeah,
you know, they celebrated their anniversary. Yeah. Happy anniversary to them.
Yes. Thank you.
And what? How many years has it been now?
Girl, I don't know. Oh, God. Maybe like 20-something.
I was going to say it has to be a good like 20 or more. It has to be because we were little kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We were little kids,
maybe,
you know, like, many, many years ago without telling our age, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We were young. Yeah, we were young. But definitely also just want to say, of course, rest in peace to everyone who has, you know, lost someone due to this, you know, coronavirus, the COVID-19. A lot of people are extremely happy they got those checks today and last week, and they're going to be coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, my only advice today is use it wisely. You know, use it wisely, girl, because that money gonna go so fast. You know, use it wisely. You know, especially in this pandemic that we got going on. It's, you know, it's money. You know, we're all thankful. You know, but when you think about it, it's not enough to pay your rent, to pay your mortgage, but you know, it's something. You know, to be able to, you know, help you maintain a little bit. And you know, I know the last show, you know, there were a couple people that was inboxing, you know, talking about how the people who are on unemployment is getting their unemployment benefits plus their $600. You know, we talked about it last week, you know, as well, you know, and I gave my feedback, you know, on it. You know, there should be some type of hazardous pay for those of us who are out there, you know, essential workers like, you know, like me and you, you know, going out there. You know, there should be some type of incentive, you know, for us because we're frontline. We're in the, you know, the midst of everything. So, you know, hopefully there'll be some type of, you know, hazardous pay. I do want to share this quick story, though, and I want to get, you know, just feedback on it real quick. Real situation, of course. You know, a comment was made, you know, and it was about the essential workers. You know, pretty much saying that, you know, they should be happy that they're getting the check for $1,200. And, you know, for some of us, you know, our hours are cut back, you know, so we're not working the amount of hours we used to work. Some people got laid off and so on, you know. And the conversation was pretty much like the, you know, the person was saying that people should be thankful, you know, that they have a job and that they're getting the 40 hours, you know. And my input, and I wanted to get feedback on it, is this a time that you should be thankful and grateful to have a job, you know, when the person that's sitting at home is making more money than you? You know, is that how we should feel? Should we feel, you know, and I'm asking everyone, you know, so the lines are lit up already. You know, the number to call, like I said, is 845-277-9098. You know, I know me myself, I love my job, I love what I do, you know. But the question became a question when it was said that people should be thankful and grateful that they have a job and they're making 40 hours a week, when the person that's sitting at home is making more than them. So should we be grateful, you know, that we still have jobs and that we're making less than the person that's sitting at home on unemployment? Or should we just be able to give our opinion and say, you know what, yeah, it's great that they're getting unemployment, but, you know, it's great, I'm grateful I have a job, but they're sitting at home making more than me. You know, so what's your, you know, what's your opinion on that? Anyone who wants to call in to press the one button, you know, and give your opinion. Do you feel like, you know, I say we because both of us are, you know, essential workers and we're working. You know, do you feel like we should just be jumping for joy, extremely happy that we have a job, you know, and the average person is making $1,000 a week, you know, which is more than what some of us are making.
I am appalled. How on earth can someone who's sitting home on unemployment, who, now there are people, several people who, let's just say, worked at, I don't know, somewhere where they only made like, I don't know, $12 an hour. You telling me that that person is sitting at home on unemployment and getting paid more weekly than I am for busting my butt, for being out here risking my life? I'm appalled. I'm sorry. Yes, I am grateful to God that I still have my job. I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful that I'm getting a lot of overtime as well. However, I'm appalled that somebody sitting at home on unemployment is getting more than me, and I'm out here risking my life as an essential worker.
Right.
I'm appalled.
Right.
Who on earth threw that up?
Mm-hmm. But and that's the question. That's one of the questions tonight, you know, for those people who are working, you know, everybody's grateful and thankful to have a job, you know, especially with everything that's going on, you know. But when you sit and you think about it and you say, wow, if you would have laid me off, I'd be making $1,000 a week, you know. And then for management, you know, for this, you know, situation to say, oh, people should be thankful and they should be grateful, you know, that is kind of where I kind of got irritated by it, you know, because I'm like, yes, everyone's thankful and grateful, but even with your 40 hours, people aren't making $1,000 a week.
Right.
So even I'm going to even give it to you better. The essential workers who are working in the grocery stores and who are working at the hospitals, they're not even making $1,000 a week.
Hell no.
Unless they're a nurse. I'm talking about the little people. Housekeepers, patient care technicians, home health aides, CNAs. I'm talking about them.
Yep.
I'm talking about how Target has, you know, Target's open. They stock the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
They come in overnight.
Yep.
They make sure that the store's clean. They make sure you can come in and go shopping. The grocery stores make sure you got your food and everything, and you're making more than they are.
This is crazy.
So, I'm confused. You know, I'm confused.
I know
you. Where I don't understand how this bill even came up, that this was okay. You know, and then it's, you thought about the average person that's at home that will still collect their unemployment, yes, but you didn't think first about the person that's risking their life catching the coronavirus, being in the front line.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm just a little, you know, confused with that. You know, I believe Miss Mobetta's in the building. Let me just bring her on real quick. Miss Mobetta, you in the building?
Hi, Diva. Hey, girl.
Hello, how are you?
When me and my family get on Zoom, we don't know how to get off. So I had to cut them off. And today was my niece's birthday. Happy birthday, Peachy Baby.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Well, just to bring, you know, we were just catching up on, you know, last week's show. And, you know, just to recap, you know, talk about what we talked about last week. And then I had mentioned a topic that was brought to my attention about how the essential worker who's working the 40 hours should be thankful and grateful that they have a job, even though the person that's unemployment that was laid off is making more money than they are. You know, it was said, you know, by management pretty much, well, you know, people should be thankful that they have a job. So my question tonight was, should the average essential worker be thankful that they have a job, even though if we talk about grocery stores or we talk about the hospitals, the housekeepers, the patient's care technicians, mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. the stock person, the cashier, they're not making $1,000 a week.
No, absolutely not.
But
they should be compensated.
Right. So the question was, how do you feel about that? You know, do you feel like the essential worker should be thankful and grateful that they have a job? Or do you believe that the essential worker should feel some type of way, you know, that they're making less than that $1,000 a week, some people half of that, and this is all they're getting? And today the stimulus checks or whatever came out for a lot of people, and people mm-hmm. are like, oh, well, they should be happy that they got that.
Well, listen, can y'all hear me talking? Can y'all hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I hear
the
you.
The thing
yeah.
is, people were already grateful for their jobs. You understand what I'm saying? I know I was.
Of course.
So,
of course.
I think the essential workers really should be compensated because now you're at the front line. You stand a bigger risk of being being able to catch this coronavirus, the SARS is what it really is, the SARS. You stand a greater risk of your health and infecting somebody else at home or whatever. So, I mean, I don't understand what the point is of the unemployment. Me, I think they have a hidden agenda that those that are receiving unemployment, I don't think they're going to have a job when they go back. You understand? So now, if they're not being penny-wise, it's the money that they're receiving from unemployment, they better put some kind of plan together because I don't think they're even going to go back to a job. Number two, like I said, the workers are grateful. Who's to say they're not grateful for their job? You understand? And then you get frustrated because now you're dealing with an angry public, a sick public, and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
I think they should be more compensated. You know, so that's even like my job. My job is open, so, you know, I'm going to work like 3 days a week. But they doubled our pay because now
right.
we stand a greater risk. Of being there.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. no, I think they need to stop saying that they should be grateful for this.
Yeah, we just lost her.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
I'm here. Oh,
I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah.
Okay,
hey.
But like I was saying, though, who's to say that they aren't grateful for their job?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're not, it's not even that they're ungrateful. They're exhausted. You have people working
yeah.
countless amount of hours, no sleep. Some people are barely eating when they're, especially the healthcare workers. That's not to take away from those that are working in the grocery stores and stuff because they can shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They close at a certain hour. But the healthcare is a 24-hour business. That doesn't
right.
stop. So who's to say that they're not
right.
grateful? So I think they need to stop saying that. People really need to stop saying that because they are the true front line.
You know what? And the sad part about it is when you look at it, you know, a lot more healthcare workers are getting the coronavirus, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to me, it's like when you think of, you know, when you think of the front line, the hospitals never close. They're open year round, hour round, you name it, you know, they do.
Right.
And the sad part about it is I know that I know out east at Peconic Bay Hospital, I read online that
mm-hmm.
someone had donated $1 million to them.
Yeah.
You know, they donated $1 million to the hospital, you know, and I don't get me wrong. I hope and pray that it's given the right way, if that makes sense. You know,
just talking about that because whoever the donor was made it specific that it was for the workers.
Right.
The donor made it specific for the workers because we don't want to put it where they want to. So
exactly. Exactly.
From my understanding, it was made specific for the workers.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm sure I'm going to be checking with my daughter because I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter works there. I'm going to be checking with her because I want to know. Because people are giving donations and stuff to the hospital. They're giving financial donations and they're giving, you know, food and everything. And the way they're giving it out is like savages, you know. And savages, it's like savages. Like, let's just give a perfect example. Like, they turned the rehab unit into, like, say, after the patients leave the COVID-19 unit and they're more, I guess you can say, more stable, they go down to the rehab unit, and then that's when they're taking care of them down there. But the people who are taking care of them all day, every day, why are they last to get stuff that comes to the hospital? You know,
right.
When you have, excuse my language, I'm talking about all hospitals because I worked in a hospital, so I know what it's about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Food and stuff comes in, management gets it first, and then it's passed down to the rest of the staff.
Oh, no.
It shouldn't
be like that.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
It should go to the staff
because
the staff is the front line. Management, disrespect to anybody, but you sitting in your office, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Walking around, checking stuff out, but these people are risking their life, scrubbed up, scrubbed down, you name it. You know, fully equipped, ready to fight this battle, and you're not really doing much. So therefore, when I read the donation, I said, you know, I hope that it goes to the workers. You know, I hope that it goes directly to the frontline people. No disrespect, management,
exactly.
I get it, you know, but what about the little people? What about the people who are pushing and striving?
The CNAs, the nurses, right.
What about
the custodians?
Like, I feel like it should go to them. You know, I really do.
That's
I hope that it does go, you know, to them. But I was hoping, don't get me wrong, you guys may not agree, I'm not sure. But I was hoping that they would at least, you know, pass some type of bill for some of the essential workers where they are compensated with something.
Well,
you know,
I got a link today. Yeah, that they were trying to make it so that we get $13 an hour added to what we're already making per hour.
What you're already making. Okay.
But no disrespect to anyone that's on unemployment, but I'm just saying, they should have thought of the essential workers first before
they
decided to give the people who are on unemployment $600 additional. They should have thought of the essential workers first. And then the people, not saying that the people who are getting unemployment can survive off their unemployment, but they're not front line. You're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you're supposed to stay home and be safe. These front line people,
mm-hmm.
you should have thought about them first and given them something first.
Right.
Pardon
right.
my language, but they're shitting on us.
Literally.
But at $1,000 a week, and this is what I'm speaking with most of the people that collect unemployment, you're getting $1,000 a week, you know. It's, like I said, if you can't be penny wise, because that's only for 3 months. That after 3 months, that runs out, that stops. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, after, you better be making plans to find yourself another job. And this is what they're hoping they do. You know what I mean? Because I don't think that the people that are on unemployment are going to go back to a job. And this is why I felt they did that. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to figure like, all right, we're going to see if we can cut that work down. We're going to see if we can, whatever work that they were doing, that we can shovel the work off somewhere else. And this is why they should compensate the people that are still working first.
Right. They should have. You know, I think that they should have.
Because they're dangerous.
Look, some weeks have five weeks, and some months have 5 weeks, some have four. But that's still 12 weeks, let's just say. That's $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
That's
$12,000. So when you do the math, if the average person is bringing home, let's just say, if you're in a hospital, even if you get paid biweekly, you might bring $1,200. That, you know, you might make $1,200 every 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, granted, if that right there to me is crazy.
Absolutely,
it is crazy.
So
Absolutely.
You know, I said we weren't gonna, you know, like dwell on it, but I definitely wanted to, you know, to discuss it. It was brought to my attention, so I wanted to bring it out to you guys to see, you know, like what your feedback was on it, you know, to see.
But
and then I know I think
dwelling,
Angie, I think you posted something up and was saying that you didn't have to pay the money back, the $1,200.
No, you don't. It's tax free. You do not have to pay that money back. That was a myth. I don't know where it started at. It came up with some paper. People were posting on social media a paper that they got, but that was something totally different. It has nothing. It's not a loan. It's tax free, and you do not have to pay it back on your next tax.
I want to know when I'm getting mine. I want to know when I get mine.
You stupid. You stupid. But I'm going to tell you, you know, and we'll know for sure because there's so many different myths about this money. When taxes come around next year, I want to see.
Yep.
I want to see. But it's time to do my taxes next year. That's
right. Right.
Because they're like, oh, you don't have to pay it back. The same way how that the guy had the paper that was detailed, you know what I'm saying, saying that you do mm-hmm. have to pay it back. There's many different websites that said you have to pay it back. And then there was some people that you didn't. I'm going to let you know, next year tax season, okay?
Let me tell you
what I'll let you know when
about.
I file my taxes next year.
Yep. I tell you what, I didn't get my $1,200 today, but I tell you what they did do today. They took that $244
I got mine today.
And federal from me that I owe, and they took the and they took the $16 in state that I owe. They took that out of my bank account, but they didn't give me no $1,200.
But they didn't put the $12 in.
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, no, the checks are out. How they were administering the checks is those people that filed their taxes, and did direct deposit. And that did direct deposit. They're giving them first. They're giving theirs out first. So, they were saying. So now the next round of checks for like the first 2 weeks, it'll be the people that filed and did direct deposit. The next set of checks that's supposed to go out are those that get SSI disability or you know the Social Security people. They're supposed to get their round next, and then after that, they're supposed to start sending out the paper checks April 24th. But it can take up to 5 months for certain people to get the paper check. But
I guess
now he wanted his name put on the paper check that put like a halt to him. Because
okay.
he wanted
Help
his
me
name
with this.
On the paper check.
Whenever,
so that kind of paused. So,
okay, but whenever you get a check from the IRS, okay, I don't remember
Department
the president's name ever being on
no.
the check. It Both always says the, Department of Treasury.
The
I don't
Treasury.
Understand
yep.
what he's doing or what he's talking about because
He's a narcissist.
I don't remember
That's
ever
why.
Seeing a check that said the president's name.
Wow.
Because he's narcissistic. He's a narcissistic, self-loathing, pea brain imbecile, and they do things like that. They
crazy.
Make it all about them. He makes it about him first. He don't care about the American people, and the sooner the people see that, the better. He does not care. He cares about numbers. He does not care about people.
That's the fact. Well, I tell you, we'll see when it's time to vote. We'll see when it's time to vote again and see what those people really do.
People got to listen, and this is where now is the time for people to make sure you check that you're registered at your address that you live at now to register. Because then they give people a hard time. Make sure your ID matches your – if your ID don't match your address that you're living in now, you won't be able to vote. So they're looking – and that's why he won't even bail – the Postal Service asked for a bailout and they won't do it. They're not going to do it.
Of course they're not.
They're hoping things get lost in the mail because then that he stands a greater chance of mail-in ballots and stuff being lost. So this is,
of
you
course.
Know, people just have to pay attention. Just pay attention. Listen to how people speak and then watch how they move. If your speech don't match your movement, then you know they're full of crap. Come on now.
Okay, but Miss Mo Better. Okay, and Ray Queen, let me tell you something. His movement
mm-hmm.
wasn't adding up before he got elected, okay? So, I know that's no here, no there. But I'm just saying.
That's a fact. That's a super fact.
I'm not comparing him to any president. I'm just saying his movement was flawed from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I don't understand I don't get it. I don't get it.
Because
you know what?
Being the president, us people voting really don't choose who becomes president. And especially when like him being in office and nobody's running against him, they can fix it to where they want who they want in there. They need a pawn. The president is just a pawn. He's not really no boss. He's not. He has bosses. So they chose him to be in there.
He's just the president. He's just the man that runs the White House to me.
We don't even run that old raggedy ass. So I'm not even gonna raise my blood pressure, fucker, with him. Oh, excuse me, messing with him tonight. I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm not even gonna raise my blood pressure of messing with him tonight because he.
But you know,
I see who he is.
But see, you see, but I need a lot of other people to see. Because even, you know, people are putting up, granted, you know, that thank you for the 1,200, but I don't like you, I'm not voting for you, which is
fine.
About
money.
But I need you, I need everybody to do what they got to do when that time comes. Because the only way there's going to be change is if everyone pushes it for change. If you still have those same people, you know, who aren't pushing it, like for me, I think it was 2018, I read that he fired the whole COVID-19 team. He fired them all.
He sure did.
He fired them all. So my thing is you have to, not you ladies in particular, but just saying people in general, you have to think of the big picture. Like, if that team wouldn't have been fired, who's to say it would have got as worse as it is right now? Like, this is bad right now. People are dying and stuff. Yeah, people are dying, and more people, unfortunately, is going to die before everything gets better. But who's to say who's going to die? You don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's the sad part about it is that it's so much stuff going on now. It's like, now what? You know, like, now what do you do? Now who do you turn to?
But he calls it a Democratic hoax. He called that taking serious. Come on, man.
He also said if 100,000 people die, it's okay. So my thing
is, it's a good number.
You're not dying. You know what I'm saying? I don't see anybody that said that they work in the White House. They got it. So
what do
you know that we don't know?
Right.
And stuff, and you didn't get it.
Yeah. And they were all standing on the stage together and everything.
So I just feel like there's a hidden agenda and there's information that, of course, we're not getting. And we're not going to get it. I get it. But I just think that at the end of the day, we have to move smarter, you know.
As people, we have to
move smarter. We got to do better. You know, it's like you know better, you do better. Okay, we know better now. So people still not doing better?
Right. Well, you see that video in Florida where they had that that big old Easter party down there. It had to have been a couple of hundred people out there. Black folks.
Girl. Black folks for you.
I said, well, you know what it is, too, also. This is where the media comes in, because a lot of times down there, they're not pushing certain narratives like we are here in New York. Here, you get tired of watching TV because they're pushing this, the social distancing and different things like that. They're not really pushing that down there because they're not projecting their numbers. They're not projecting the numbers like they should.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So this thing is real. It's serious. But we can be very ignorant sometimes and annoying as hell. Like, how do y'all not see this stuff going on? Are you not watching TV? Is that the problem? Or do you believe sugar is sweet?
It didn't hit home yet. It didn't hit home yet where somebody down there get it that's in their family and it hit home and it makes them pay attention. Because if you've got a party and it's like, let's just say it's 100 people, let's just say, in this party, now, it was packed out there. Nobody was practicing social distancing.
They was all there together, all having a good time. Now you mean to tell me, out of all those people, nobody was affected? So okay, since nobody was affected, guess what?
It's not hitting
there. You go. They're gonna keep doing it. It's not hitting there like it is here.
It's gonna continue.
It's coming. It's going. Yep. It's traveling.
Well, my advice to our folks that's listening and stuff, we stop depending on the federal government for anything. I'm speaking the gospel to you right now, because the federal government that we're running with now cares about numbers. He does not care about people. So let's not. You go with your local government. Your local government, which runs precedent of where you live. They hold precedent of where you live. That's why, like, midterm elections and stuff is very important. It's more important than an actual presidential election of who you got in the seat, your Senate and the congressmen and your local governors, your local mayors and stuff like
town
that.
Town officials
that's who
and
you
stuff
vote
like that,
for.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is who is more important for us. But a lot of people don't pay attention to that. They think it's just when every 4 years you vote for the president. Yeah, that's important too. But our main focus is our local government, because that's where a lot of our funding and all of that stuff comes to. And then once they can't suffice, then we have to go to the federal government. So you got to start first, and then it spreads abroad. You know what it is? People just don't take time. They don't take the time to even find out what your government, what the House and the government and all of that stuff stands for.
All right, so I'm going to hit you with a headliner, okay? Because in my eyes, from what I see, I don't see, I mean, you guys tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I don't see any town officials or any of that going around doing nothing. I don't see them on TV. I don't see them on any type of news stations. I don't see them saying nothing. When I turn around, I see the governor, the mayor. But I'm talking about the little people, where it starts from the little people. The people.
Right.
I'm not saying who we rep in our town, but the people who we do elect in our town, where are they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Riverhead, Southold, Greenport, Mastic, Shirley, the town of Babylon. I haven't seen any of that anywhere.
Oh,
everybody
is that's
mute
true.
Right about now.
You know why?
Everybody's
because they dumped all their responsibility on Cuomo and Bellagio. That's what they did on Cuomo. I'm not gonna say Bellagio because Bellagio is for New York City, but they dumped everything. Now is dumped in Cuomo's lap. Everything. They dumped it all on. So, like, if the schools now, like, I know in my school district, they've been really diligent in trying to make sure people have, like, food and different things like that, you know. But as far as anything else, as far as, like, opening up testing sites and all of that stuff, it's all in Cuomo's lap.
When these testing sites are a hot mess.
I get what you're saying, Storm, because when it comes to election time, you'll see them coming in your churches and all kinds of stuff. On your doorstep with all kind of flyers and everything. So, no, I get what you're saying. And that reason why is the reason why a lot of people don't vote. Because I don't see you no other time until it's voting election time. I need to see you all the time. Like, not all the time, but a little more often.
That's right. But right now, I don't see you at all, you know. And don't get me wrong, the schools out here, they are making sure that there's food and stuff and, you know, the parent portals and stuff, they're using all of that stuff. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, in my head, I still feel like other people should be doing more, you know, than just depending on, you know, the mayor and stuff. Instead of just depending on them, what are you doing for your community?
Because
the park over here, the park by me is still open. I don't see a whole bunch of people out there, but the park over here is still open. So you mean to tell me y'all couldn't fence that off? Y'all couldn't, you know? It's like
put a lock
at the end
it.
Of the day, it's right. It's like there's something, they should be doing more than what they're doing to me, and I feel like they're not doing enough. And I feel like people, us as people, as a whole, not just black people, everybody, you know, the
people,
social
period.
Distancing, they're not
they're not still they're not doing it the way they're supposed to be doing it. And
yep.
Well,
that's
who
why
do you have to blame?
Too.
It's like, who do you have to blame at the end of
the
day if God forbid something
happens?
That's
the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's on an individual level. I'm sorry, because people, you know better. You're not talking to people that don't understand English. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
But
yeah.
They get this mentality, oh, you can't tell me when to go out. I'm going to go out anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like,
which is sad.
They're
also
trying
okay,
to a law where everyone that goes outside has to wear a mask, or you're gonna get in trouble.
Okay, you ready? The small print of that said, everyone has to wear a mask when you go outside if social distancing isn't being done. They should have left that out and said everybody put on a mask, point blank and period.
Put on a mask.
But I'm gonna tell you, you can put on a mask where you want to, but you know I'm still harping on them dirty old gloves that you got on. So you can put on a mask if you want to, but you still got them dirty gloves on.
Right.
Touching every, you know, I'm still on it. I'm just saying, you know, I'm still on the dirty gloves.
I'm
still seeing it.
Those gloves are passing more corona than somebody's normal regular hands would. I tell you,
right.
I know one thing. I carry my hand sanitizer around my neck, one clip to my belt, one in my pocket. I mean, literally,
got everywhere. Me too.
Yes, here at the job, everywhere you turn, there are hand sanitizers and washing stations. And so, what the hell are them dirty gloves going to do?
And
you find them all over the ground. People take them off and just throw them on the ground. Like, put them in the garbage. What is wrong with people? Like, come on.
You look at the, big picture, and it's like, okay, I get it. You know, all right, everybody put on a mask. But if you still got them same dirty gloves on, okay,
exactly.
That you still around, you know, trying to hand money out to people and stuff like that. It's like you're not stopping the spread of anything because your dirty gloves are your dirty gloves, you know. Like I went to the bank today. The bank teller didn't have on no gloves. And mind you, you can't even go into the bank. You have to have an appointment to go inside the bank. Now, the drive-through line is crazy, okay? The drive-through line is crazy. You have to have an appointment.
Diva.
Yes.
Pause for a second.
Yes,
we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Yes, we're going to bring the caller on. Caller, are you there?
Good evening, my queen. How is everyone doing tonight?
Good evening.
Hi.
How are you?
Welcome back.
Well, actually, the pleasure is mine because, I mean, you guys have been off the air for quite some time, so I didn't even know what was going on. So I just kind of, you know,
Dave?
I just put it on the...
That's
yes,
Dave.
It is. It's,
yeah,
yes,
that's
it is.
The infamous Dave. Infamous Dave.
The one and only.
Yes. Listen, everybody be prepared because he's about to drop some stuff on us right now.
It's about to go down. We're ready.
Well,
the floor is yours, Dave.
Well, I'm a little bit late to the party. I don't know what you guys said the topic was. I just heard the end about the gloves and the mask and things of that nature.
Yep. Okay, so the topic tonight was, there was a conversation that was had, and management was pretty much explaining that the essential workers should be happy that they have a job. And, you know, even though they're essential workers and they may not be making, you know, making $1,000 a week that the person on unemployment is making, but they should be happy and thankful that they have a job. So the question was, do you feel that way, or do you feel like the essential workers should be getting paid more money because they are the front line, you know, whether it's the hospital, grocery stores, or any type of department store that's still open? You know, do you feel like they should feel some type of way because they're not getting compensated the way the person on unemployment is getting compensated?
Well, I tell you, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And what this does, what this whole thing did, was put a spotlight on the people that we all took for granted. Because
right.
what it did was it showed us how important those people really are when it comes
Amen.
To a situation whereas something such as this. So all the people that were on this high horse are now dependent on the people that they look down upon. You see?
Right.
So yes, what they consider to be essential workers should get that what is called the hazard pay. Because they are the front line now. Yeah, they are basically
right.
like the first responders. You see?
Right.
So they are out there putting their lives at risk for the people that were looking down upon them. So we need to give them the accolades that they deserve, and they need to be compensated accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So this
right.
really brought some stuff to the forefront, so that everyone should understand. Look, we are all equal, regardless of how you
yeah.
look at it. We're all equal. You know, so
mm-hmm.
everyone has their place in this society, and what we need to do is recognize that and give everyone the space and give everyone the respect that they need when they're doing what they're doing.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
That's a gem right there. That's a fact. I think the entire situation is to start restoring things that were actually lost. Relationships, like I said, respect for people and their duties and stuff like that. I think all this stuff, you know, but people are still not paying attention. In my opinion.
Well,
true. Yeah.
And there's another aspect as well, when you were speaking about the mask and the gloves.
The dirty gloves.
With the mask, they have the blue mask. They have the blue mask and they have the yellow mask that they use in the hospitals. They also have people that are making masks for resale, which is made out of cloth and cotton and things like that. The problem with the blue, yellow, and the cloth mask is that they cannot block the particle, which is 1 to 3 microns, which is absolutely very small when
That's
you inhale.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing those masks
mm-hmm.
are good for is to stop the spread. Like if you have the disease, that will help
mm-hmm.
stop the spread. When you speak, you know, you have the particles coming out, or if you sneeze or you cough, you have the mask to protect somebody else. But it's not going to stop you from getting the virus because the microns are too small. You need the actual N95 mask.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's hospital issue. You need the N95, and that's going to stop, you know, the transmission of the virus. Also,
right.
if you have a vacuum cleaner in your house, the vacuum cleaner bag actually stops 98% of the particles coming that you're breathing in. So you can actually get the vacuum cleaner bag and put it behind your mask, and that's going to protect you
oh, wow.
all the way around.
Yeah, because they have the
wow.
HEPA filter in the vacuum bags. Yeah.
Right,
but
the vacuum, exactly.
What, in my job, they use that in my job. We use the N95 mask at work. That's what we have to use. That's mandatory for my job. Because, you know, they study that stuff over there on my job, so we have to use them, you know. But the
mm-hmm.
HEPA filter is the most important, which this is where now that you have companies and stuff bidding on giving supplies to states. I don't know if you guys heard that either, but you got different companies
yeah, but
bidding.
You know,
it's
the highest
so
bidder,
the
though.
Stuff is high. Exactly. It's so
yeah.
high that you can't really even afford it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is now another issue because where can you find the N95? They don't even have them. And number two,
mm-hmm.
who can afford it when you do? So,
all right. So Dave, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you about this stimulus check that's going out, this $1,200. What's your feedback on that? Do you feel like it's a loan that you have to pay back when you do your taxes, or do you feel like the government is just giving people $1,200
well,
or $500 for each qualifying kid? What do you think about that?
Let's look back on history. and let's look back on who we are dealing with. And just for the record, I didn't apply for it. I didn't even, because I know within my heart, the people that we are dealing with, the entity that we are dealing with, is going to get that back on the back end. You're going to pay it back. However they're going to do it, you're going to say, you have to pay this back on the back end.
Right.
This government does not give you anything for free. Absolutely nothing.
I agree.
Listen, they don't even give you free advice.
you gotta pay to eat healthy.
or for the elderly, the Medicaid. If you make too much for Medicaid, you still have to pay a certain percentage of that. So how do you get on a fixed income and they still have to pay their insurance and they still have to pay the copays to get their medication? The medication is so expensive, it's not even covered half the time.
That's
what Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So exactly. And guess what? Don't hit Lotto. Because all that money is going to go back to the government. But on this COVID situation, I just want to break down a couple of things as far as how this thing operates. This way that people that don't know, they can get an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
In our lungs, right? I'm just going to make it really simple. In our lungs, when we breathe in, we have alveoli and the bronchial. These are air sacs. These are in our lungs. So what happens is when we breathe in, we have two particular cells in the alveoli. Cell one, basically what it does is allow the oxygen to be absorbed into the blood. And then we have cell two that basically produces something called surfactant. Surfactant is a fluid that keeps your lungs flexible so that when you breathe, it can expand and retract. What the virus does, it is attacks cell one so that the oxygen cannot be absorbed into the blood, and then it attacks cell two that makes the surfactant so that your lungs become very rigid and hard. So now it feels like you have an elephant on your chest, and then when they do, an x-ray, your chest looks like a sponge, like a hard sponge that's broken away. That's how your chest looks, and it's like in chunks. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's why they need the ventilator to go ahead and force air into your system to force you to breathe. And what the ventilator is doing is basically is ventilating and it's oxygenating at the same time because you need that pure oxygen. So that's what's happening with this virus, in just layman terms.
Yep.
Now, as far as how this thing came about and what is going on, we have to look at a couple things. One, we have to look, this is a little past, but we have to look at Google and we have to look at YouTube. And we have to look at, 23andMe and these places that you send your blood cultures into to get, a family history. Right? And I'm going to show you where I'm leading to.
Mm-hmm.
Sergey Brin and this other gentleman, Larry Page, they're the owners of Google, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of Google is married to the sister of 23andMe, right? So this is how Google was able to buy the company 23andMe so they can get all of your DNA.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Now, so by them doing that, they teamed up with China, with this Fauci who's undermining Trump, as well as the World Health Organization. If you do a search, you're going to see that Bill Gates is the highest donator to the World Health Organization. So
right.
Basically,
owns
the company. Yeah, basically, he owns the company. Right?
Right.
And then you'll see the three of them are actually in cahoots, with the whole vaccine situation. Right?
Right. Okay.
So the thing with a vaccine, you can give a vaccine today, the virus is going to mutate, and then the vaccine is no good tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's the thing with vaccines. You can give a vaccine, but then tomorrow it doesn't work because now the virus has mutated to something else.
Gotcha.
It's like the common cold. Every time the cold comes, it's a different strand. It's a, that's why the cold and the flu is here all the time, because it's constantly changing.
Right.
Right? And one last thing is,
right.
The other thing about the virus is, they are paying doctors $13,000 to diagnose anyone with COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And also, if they once they diagnose the patient and the patient goes on the ventilator, now they get an extra $39,000 on top of the $13,000.
Mm. Wow.
Now, this information, if you want to check it out, don't use Google to do the search. Use a different search engine, like DuckDuckGo or whatever, because Google is blocking it. But you can check Fox News, and you'll see, you can check Fox News, and you can see that the doctor was on the Fox News, and he basically, he said, look, I have a conscience. I'm not going to continue to do this. You know, he broke it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the CDC website, you're going to see that on the CDC website, when the doctor asked, how should we label the death certificate, they basically said, if you think, assume, suspect, basically, if you don't have a clue, just put the death as COVID.
Oh, wow.
You see? So you can get check this stuff out yourself. I mean, you can go to the CDC website. You know, you can look and see the answer questions. All this is on it's documented. You see?
Wow.
So, so it throws up some flags when, you know, all this stuff is going down. Now, given this is a serious situation that's going on, this is very serious. You know,
right.
And don't, you know, people are dying from this stuff. But it's just that the numbers are skewed because they need to implement this mandatory vaccination and mandatory 2020 ID and all this other stuff. So that's where it's really going.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we need to be informed so that we can just.
They need to make their money at the end of the day.
Yes.
They need to get their money. And we know Big Pharma runs. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and they own that stuff. You understand? So, and this is my personal opinion, but I said once they started coming out with the CBD oil that everybody was flocking to, like, oh, well, I don't need this medicine. I can just take this. Now we need a new source. We need some other source that's going to bring in money through pharmacy. They're gonna need pills. They're gonna need medicine. They're gonna need the ventilators. They're gonna need. Let's create something, and that way, you know, we'll have a new source of money.
Right.
So that.
And
well,
you know,
we are pawns on their chessboard.
And to add on what you just said, do a history on the pharmaceutical company and how much money they're actually losing. From what you just said makes 100%. Do a search and you'll see how much money they have lost in the past 10 years. So they needed something to bring to get some money.
That's right.
They
need
to make that
money
back.
Wow. And this is where there's money from the money from the treasury is coming from. It's coming from them. This is where all our money comes from. All of those big banks and stuff that's offshores and stuff like that. This is where all of the stimulus money and everything comes from. Even though we buy into it, they still borrow the money from them. They spent our money. Our money was spent a long time ago. They borrow now. They borrow money from them. So now they say, all right, we're going to lend you the money, but you got to come up with a way to give us that money back.
Right.
But okay,
Diane, I know time is about to be at the end. I knew you were about to say it, Rachel. I knew you were. But I do want to ask one more quick question. There's a medication that India has that Trump was trying to get. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
there's a medication.
They was treating malaria with it. Yeah, they treat malaria.
Okay.
I think it's my corticoquine, something like that. That effect, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the medication that Trump was trying to bully his way to get from India, where India now says they're not giving it to us because it's not exactly a cure for it. They said it's not a cure, so to speak. But I wanted to ask you guys, did you see when they asked Trump about that question and his answer was, you know, pretty much that they have to give it to us. If they don't, you know, that there's going to be, you know, it's like something's going to be done. And then the lady that was doing the interview she was responding back from India, and she was like, you know, he's trying to bully us and threaten us to get it from us, where we were giving it to countries who really needed it. And mm-hmm. just because he comes and he tries to threaten us as if something's going to happen if we don't give it to him, we're not giving it to him. Now, do you guys mm-hmm. believe, or what's your opinion about that? Do you think that this could be some type of secret that some people have a clue of a cure and some people don't, or you just believe it's all hype, like there's no cure for it, that it's just an upper respiratory infection or it's the flu? Do you believe that it's just that, or do you believe it's more than that and that technically there is a cure for it?
There's a cure. There's always a cure for stuff because they make it.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to stand a risk of catching it themselves, even though one doctor passed away from it. Who's to say he even died? They could just be telling us that. But everything that
okay.
was created they have a cure for it, believe me.
Well, I'm not getting no injection. Dave, what do you think?
here's the thing. One of the actors, I think he put up $1 million or something like that for Bill Gates, Fauci, or any one of those guys to take the 69 vaccines that they want to give us, and nobody has taken him up on that as yet.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys can check that out. Yeah, and
okay.
the other thing
okay.
about the other thing about the vaccines, and also the tests. The gentleman that actually came up with the test was this guy Kary Mullis, and what he said about the test is a RT-PCR test, and what he said is the test should not be used to diagnose infectious disease. It's in his literature. So this is why this test is only 15% accurate and 85% inaccurate. You see?
Okay.
So this is kind of what we're dealing with. And as far, you know, we can't say the word cure because you can get sued. But there's remedies. There's remedies. And I'll tell you what cured my friend in New York. Garlic, ginger, turmeric, honey, and if you can tolerate, vodka, a teaspoon of vodka.
Vodka, apple cider vinegar. That's what I take.
Right, and you do that, and you take a teaspoon a day, and I guarantee you're going to see mucus coming from your ears, your eyes, your other places that you don't think it's coming from, and that's basically what's going to happen. You're going to see some things happening. Go ahead.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to ask that question because, you know, there's a lot of things going on. But, Rachel, go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Yes. On that note, Don and Divas, Tanya does the acting. And normally we go about a circle at prior time to now of the show and give our final thoughts of how the show was. However, it's already 9:03, and I want to give mine really quick. God bless. Everybody stay safe. Dave, thanks for calling in. All the callers and listeners, thank you. Our CEO and our executive, Rich Money and Miss Storm, big ups to y'all. My sister Divas, Miss Storm and Miss Mobetta, love y'all.
Yeah,
love you too.
Passing on the mic.
All right, Dave, so we'll go to you for your final thoughts.
Well, just to remind Rich to give me a call because there's also people that have hypertension, high blood pressure. They take certain medications, and those medications has what's called beta blockers. I can't give advice, but you might want to look into that because the virus latches onto that stuff like a hook. So you might just want to look into that. That's all I can tell you. I can't give advice.
Okay.
We appreciate that.
Here's a call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right. So, of course, I'll go next. The show was a great show. Thank you, everyone, for calling in, listening to the show, whether it was on the computer or on the phone. We appreciate you guys. Shout out to Dave, of course, for calling in and just giving us straight knowledge. and just enlightening us on a lot of different things that I know I didn't know. I don't know about everybody else, but I didn't know it, and I appreciate the information as well. I look forward to being with you guys next week. Of course, on my half, have a blessed and safe week. Passing the mic to Miss Mo Better.
And
yes.
So what you gonna do, Anne?
Listen, I love and appreciate my divas over here. They just keep my morale going. I definitely do. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. And you know, as far as our topic goes, you know, people spend this time, for those who do have the time, to try to educate yourself and look up things, look up certain medicines, especially if you are on medication. Look up your medication, look up the side effects, look what will block that, and just take a little extra time to look stuff up. You know, again, staying educated, because we already know the public will tell us, will shovel us a disease in so they can sell us the medicine. So we just be safe, and if they have social distancing in your area, adhere to it. Take heed to that, because this stuff is serious. My condolences go out to anybody, any family members, anybody that has lost somebody to this nasty disease. Yes.
Okay. That's a long one right there.
Yes, that was long. I thought it got stuck. God bless our front runners, our essential workers. God bless them. God bless their families. God bless those who are actually still fighting and those that are actually recovering. God bless everybody, man, because we really do need it. God is real. God is a little more real. No, he's a lot more real than this SARS disease that we are fighting now. Stay encouraged, stay safe, stay healthy, you know, and stay clean. That's the most thing. Just wash your hands. You know what I mean?
And
right
take
now,
off some dirty gloves.
I was ready to say, Storm, I'd rather see people spray their hands with hand sanitizer than to wear gloves. So
I'm putting some dirty gloves on now.
Yeah, because now you're going from thing to thing with the gloves, even though I wear them too, but I still spray the gloves with hand sanitizer.
I bet you know how to wear them, though.
Yeah, exactly. Take them off after you leave the grocery stores and stuff. You take some gloves off. You put them in the garbage before you even get in your car. Don't even take them back in your car once you wore them outside of your car. Put them in the garbage, not on the ground. Because now you're still spreading this stuff. Like, it doesn't take rocket science, people, just to be smart, you know. Just, you know, use your common sense. Like, you know, I'd rather see you with hand sanitizer than gloves. The sanitizer works if you use it properly. And when you get to a station where you can actually wash your hands, just wash your hands. Wash your hands for 20 seconds is the minimum. Wash it with soap and water. And, you know, keep it moving. That's, you know, that's it. Practice social distancing if possible. 6 feet or more away. That's it. You know, unless y'all live in the same house. You got people that live in the same house that y'all know you're not infected. Y'all can be around each other. That's not a problem. We don't want that to be twisted. So, you know, just be smart and be safe. God bless. And we're going to holler at y'all same time next week.
845-277-9098. Yeah. Good night, Rich Money. Good night, Rich Money. If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way.
Rest in peace, Jamel Jones.
And is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
Free for me, and now I am free. I follow the path that God has chosen for me. I took his hand when I heard him call. I turned my back and I left it all. I could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work or play. Past left undone must stay that way. I've now found peace at the end of the day. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joy. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Oh yes, these things I too will miss. Be not burdened with the times of sorrow. Look for the sunshine of tomorrow. My life has been filled. I've savored much good times with friends, a loved one's touch. Perhaps my time has seemed all too brief, but lengthen your pain with undue grief. Lift up your heart and peace to thee. God wanted me now, he set me free.
All you